Somebody translate when I said good morning. And that's what it's been like the last month. Every time I talk, I wait. And then somebody translates, and then I go back. So it's forgive me this morning if there's a pause there. I kind of was waiting for someone to translate. We're glad to be back home. We're glad to be with you all again. And we want to thank you for your prayers and your encouragement and your, and I want to thank the elders, too, their willingness to allow us to go to this to go to South Korea for 3.5 weeks. It was an incredible time there. We're going to share with you. It's kind of neat today how God is, this morning we heard some powerful stories from Guatemala. Now it's like the Lord's trying to tell you, I am active everywhere. I am working everywhere in the world. Not just Manchester, Tennessee, not just Guatemala, South Korea, as you're going to hear today. One of the things, the first things I realized when we were there is Koreans can be described in one word, efficient. They are the most organized people I think I have ever encountered in my life. I've never seen a culture that is so, just likes everything in its place. And everything's clean. I couldn't believe how just a city of 22.5 million people, third largest city of the world, could be so organized. You get on their subway and you're amazed at how simple it is to find your way around. It's 15 hours ahead of us, so they're sleeping right now. They're already into the next day, and you may wonder, you know, that's how big our world is, to show you in a nutshell. We work together with the Bible Correspondence Center. It's called the BCC. They are in conjunction with the Sunset School of Preaching in Lubbock, Texas. Bill Ramsey, I don't know if you want to dim the lights. Can everybody see? Y'all see okay? Bill Ramsey was fought in the Korean War and came back as a missionary in 1961. And they basically wanted to get the word of God out into all the villages. So they had this campaign in the 60s that reached far south to a small village in the south with a young man named Sang. And he heard the gospel, and you know, the rest is history, as they say, how God worked in that, and how Sang and Bill have been working together now since 1975 with this program. And God's done some amazing things with this program, and we've been privileged to be a part of that. Our home for the 3.5 weeks we were there was, don't ask me why, Hiawatha, Hotel Amigos. That's what it was called. So that's the hotel we stayed at, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts just right around the corner from where we were, and we found ourselves there quite frequently. They have a lot of Western restaurants there. Just about anything you can imagine is there. But it was Western side of Seoul. This is the older side of Seoul, the oldest part of town. So it was a neat little part of town that we were part of. We were able to visit the first day we were there, the DMZ. This is North Korea right here. We were able to see it from a distance and pray and think about what's going on in that country. And it's really amazing when you think about just last year alone, they had 90,000 escapees that came from North Korea down into South Korea. They have a program that really helps the North Koreans enculturate. And because you can imagine being in a country where there's just total darkness and nothing around you, to coming to the affluence of Seoul. Seoul is a very affluent city. And we were so surprised at how South Koreans really, it aches their hearts that their North Korean brothers and sisters up there, they want so much to see the unification of their country. And I believe it'll happen one day. I believe it'll happen. It's interesting, this satellite picture, you have North Korea here, and Pyongyang is the capital there. This was, believe it or not, in 1920, the capital of Christianity in Asia. They had a seminary there, a Presbyterian seminary, very active churches. And in 1945, everything changed. And so now they've been in darkness ever since. It's very interesting that we were in and could see right across the water a country that is number one in Christian persecution. And the fact of the matter is there's over 100,000 Christians. What they believe, there's estimates from the escapees that have come down to South Korea and into China. They believe there's about 100,000 Christians that meet in secret. And when they worship, as Tommy shared a couple months ago, they mouth the words. They don't say them out loud. When they read the Word of God together, usually one person has a Bible. Bibles are very scarce there. So you can imagine the faith these believers have under persecution. You know, that a lot of them are found in the concentration camps there. There's all kinds of brutality. And I mean, when you have a country run by a dictator, that's a madman, that's what you get. It's interesting, periodically Sang will go to the DMZ border, usually around midnight, and if there's a good wind going, he will get balloons and fill them with waterproof Gospels of Matthew and send them in the air. I've got a really cool video if you all want to see it. I don't have it with me today, but it's a video I can send to you on email. It's very touching because you just pray that somebody will get that in their hands and read the wonderful news of Jesus. So we thought that was really cool that he does that. An American missionary named Eric Foley was able to secretly meet with some of the North Korean Christians in 2012, and he told them that American Christians have asked, how can we pray for North Korean Christians? They said, pray for us. They were shocked. We pray for you. The missionary asked, why? They replied, because Christians in the West still have wealth, freedom, and power. Most have yet experienced what it is like when all you have in life is God. And as I made it clear to the preachers at the preacher seminar we did, the three-day seminar, I think when the walls come down for North Korea, I don't think we're going to teach those North Koreans anything about God. I think they're going to teach us. Because imagine being in a country where it's illegal to be a Christian. You can't worship. You have to do it in secret. You can't tell people you're a Christian. If they find out you're a Christian, you're taken, usually killed or martyred. Can imagine the strength of these believers. It was amazing. And that brings us to the idea of what the religion in South Korea, it's very interesting. A lot of people think South Korea is Christian, and it's not. 46% claim no formal religion. A lot of atheism. There is a remnant of shamanism. Shamanism is the worship of ancestors. About 14% claim that. 10% claim Confucianism. Confucianism is a philosophy that permeates that culture, but a lot of people do it as a religion. 10% do. But Buddhism is a prominent religion there. Only 18% are Protestant Christians, what we call Protestant Christianity. 10% being Catholics, and other religions, 1.7%. There is a small sect of Islam there, believe it or not, and Mormons as well. When we were in the south of South Korea, we went to a city called Gwangju, and we were able to go to one of the oldest Buddhist monasteries Buddhist temples in Asia from the 6th century, around 6th century. And we were struck by the architecture and, I mean, just all that these people would do to build these shrines to the Buddha. And while we were there, we saw a little boy come up and he bowed down before the Buddha and it made my daughter cry. And it's like my daughter gets it. She sees that the world is lost without Jesus. And I don't know what it's going to take to wake us up and to help us realize that people are really lost. 3.2 billion have never heard the gospel, never heard about Jesus. 3,700 languages do not have a Bible in their language of the 6,000 languages that are in the world today. And I was so proud of her that it breaks my heart too to see someone that is precious in the sight of God to worship something that's not real. Somebody that needs Jesus. So I want to encourage you today. Yes, the mission field is in Manchester, Tennessee. Yes, there's plenty of lost people in America to go around. But I think what Hiawatha and I want and our family want to tell you today is that there is a big world out there, and they need to hear about Jesus. What we saw more than anything else was a people that were in a hurry. It's called soul, but it's a lot of people that are living without a soul. They're just an empty shell walking around with no peace, no hope, no joy. And they don't know that God loves them and cares about them. The dominant church is the Presbyterian Church. And before you think it's the Presbyterian Church here in America, think twice. It's more of like a Pentecostal church, okay? But that's the 1880, around 1880 is when missionaries arrived in Korea. They were Presbyterian missionaries. So that's the dominant church there. We have about 110 churches of Christ, average of about 30 members per church. So there is a lot of work to be done in this country. Obviously, the largest church in the world is in Seoul, Yeouido Full Gospel Church. David Cho is the minister there. They claim 1.1 million people, and they meet in stadiums. And there are some people I've known that have been to it. They said it's amazing. They have, I think, 8 or 9 worship services on Sunday. So I can't imagine something like that. But God taught us many things in South Korea. And I want to share with you just a couple things today. I think we as a family want to share with you some of the things that we learned there. Number one is the fact that God uses weak people to accomplish His purposes. Korean is a very tough language. This is my name. This is Teresa's name. Teresa goes by the name of Terry there. It's much easier for them to say Terry than Teresa. And this is Sarah's name. And this is John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through them, through me. And I was going to share with you, Ken and I were trying to get this video to work this morning, and we're not able to get it to work, I apologize, but wanted to share with you a clip so you can hear Korean and hear what it sounds like. It's a very beautiful language. At the BCC, I taught 3 hours a day for 2 weeks on the Minor Prophets. It's in that Sunset School of Preaching part of the year. This is what they wanted me to teach, so that's what we taught. And this is the building. Their classroom is up on this 7th floor up here, up there, and that's where we had our class. We had students from Korea, from India, from the Philippines, from Myanmar as well. Teresa's friend, Josie, there from the Philippines. Sarah made friends. This lady's from India. We had several people from different cultures. It was just an amazing time while we were there. My friend, who is the translator for the Minor Prophets class, his name, we call him Kong. That's his nickname. We took the bullet train. The bullet train there goes about 190 miles per hour. It has completely changed that country because now you can get anywhere you want in 2.5 hours, any part of the country. So we went from Seoul all the way down to Gwangju. And Kong took us down there to visit with his family and to see the historical, amazing, rich cultural museums and lots of things that tells us about the history of Korea. So they have an amazing 5,000-year history. We then went on to Busan. I know it says Busan, but it's actually pronounced Busan, with a guy named Eddie. They call him Eddie. That's his American name. He's the preacher at this church here in Busan. Second largest city, it's 10 million, so a lot of people live there on the coast. It's a very, very beautiful, beautiful town. If anybody here goes to Emma's, the guy, Emma's Mr. Kim, is from this town. And I went talked to him this morning, was showing him pictures, and he was all excited, and we were talking about Busan and how beautiful it is there. And there's the thing that bothered me, I think, the most was that there's issues that in these 110 churches of Christ there, and unfortunately, that keep them from being unified. And there are issues that we may not understand or struggle with, but some of these issues are like the use of the name pastor, instruments, female deacons and elders. Basically, there's a struggle there with copying the Presbyterian church and everything, and that was the problem we found. So when we came to the class, the preacher's class I had for 3 days, I thought we would talk about some of these things, but we talked about foundations for ministry. I wanted to help them understand grace is the reason we do everything. The cross is the reason. Everything's centered on being a servant. And so I thought, what better way to demonstrate what it means to be a servant than to wash feet? And I think the Lord touched their hearts with that. It was an amazing, amazing time we had. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, man, there ain't no way I'm going to travel 6,700 miles on their side of the world and to a foreign culture where I can't communicate. What could I possibly do? Well, guess what? God uses weak people to accomplish his purposes. He loves to use broken vessels. And each one of us here in this room this morning, you're a cracked pot. You've got imperfections. You've got sins. You've got struggles in your life, just like we all do. But yet God loves to use weak people because he gets the glory. And when people see love and kindness through you, they see Jesus. And there's no words that need to be explained. I love these words from Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. Jesus said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight, Paul says, in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." God can't use proud people. God uses weak people. And that's, I want to encourage you, instead of going to the beach this year, to prayerfully think about taking your family on a short-term mission trip. And I love what Hiawatha's doing and Byron are doing in Guatemala. You can tell the welcome mat is just rolled out for everybody here to go down there for 10 days. Just go down there for 10 days. Go see what it's like. If you haven't been outside of the United States before, that's a great, great place to go. Talk to me. We'll send you to Brazil, Africa. You tell me where you want to go. We'll get you hooked up. But I want you to seriously also think about, and I mean this with all the depth of my heart, I want you to seriously think about full-time missions. You say, I got a family. I got commitments. I got things. Listen to me. God calls weak people. One of my best friends, missionaries I knew in Benin, one was a chicken farmer and one was a veterinarian in the States. And they felt God's call for Africa and they went. And God blessed them so much it's just amazing the stories they have, the churches that were started. Have you ever fully asked God? Say, "God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'm willing to obey the Great Commission." See, I think a lot of times we're afraid of fear of being sent somewhere we wouldn't like. But honestly, God knows what's best for your life. If you trust him, he will show you where he wants you to go. Maybe that's here in the States, maybe that's another country. I want to encourage you to lay your life on the altar today. God uses weak people, but he also has one universal love language, and that's the language of love. The language of love. This is Sarah's buddy. She is the sweetest lady, Brother Juan's wife. And Sarah and her really hit it off that morning that we met with them. I want to share with you some very weird pictures. This is an elevator. What's wrong with that picture, besides being in Korean? 1, 2, 3, F, 5, 6. The number 4 in Korean is the same word for death, is that right? Same word for death. So it's like our lucky 13 for us. So they don't put the number 4, they put the letter F there. When you get an elevator, it's kind of strange. Now, this was the strangest restaurant I think I've ever been to in my life. The food is amazing there. The food is awesome. We went to a restaurant where everything was made of acorns. It was different. It was good. But it was very unique. I never had anything. I don't know if I could speak for them, but that was definitely the most unique thing I've ever tasted in my life. This was another thing I thought was very strange. This is chocolates, and this is in a Insadong in an area, in a shop there. They have chocolates from that they make out of tangerines, chocolate, grape chocolate. This is gets weird. They got hot pepper chocolate, ginseng chocolate, and kimchi chocolate. Kimchi is the cabbage, the spicy cabbage. Spicy cabbage and chocolate just to me don't really sound very appetizing. I thought that was very unusual. Koreans love to fellowship. Oh man, they just enjoy. Every Sunday after church, they had a meal. After every Bible class, we had a meal. I mean, it was just amazing, amazing time. And that's the kimchi. This is kimchi. This you'll see this in every meal. This is radish kimchi there. There's all different kinds of kimchi. It's basically spicy cabbage, and it's very spicy. Some is very so hot it'll make your mouth come undone. Bulgogi is also very popular there. It's a meat, like a steak type thing. It's very good. I kept thinking about that passage where Jesus said, eat whatever is placed before you. And I'm great, I'll do that, Lord. No problem. But like in Tanzania, when I had goat stomach served to me one time, I really wasn't liking that verse. I did the best I could that day. But this is a vegetarian's paradise for the most part. There's meat there, yeah. But I mean, for the most part, they have rice and vegetables with everything. So it was very healthy, very healthy. I think one of the highlights of our trip was visiting an orphanage. It was not more or less an orphanage. It was more of a group home for children. We had 9 children in this precious place where this Christian couple, basically took kids that had been abused, either emotionally or physically. And we just had a blast with the kids there. It was just an amazing time of. And what really touched Teresa and I, and this little girl right here. This little girl had been abused so badly, and she and Teresa really hit it off. And that little girl came up to her at the end of the night and said, "I love you." In Korean, it was so precious. But Sarah hit it off. This is her friend, Yoon-sun. Is that pronounced right, Sarah? Yoon-sun. Okay. She hit it off with her and Teresa's friend, Kim, that's pronounced Hay. Kim Da-hay is right there. She's an 18-year-old girl. She basically helps there. She lives there, but she helps there too. They really hit it off, and we had a great, great time with them that day. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. We also visited East-West Congregation with Brother Juan. He's a good friend of BCC, and we were at a traditional, this is where you eat on the floor. And by the way, the floors are all heated. So when you go into someone's home, you take your shoes off, but thankfully the floor is nice and toasty. So we sat down and it was like, wow, this floor is hot. But we had a traditional meal that night. It was wonderful. And we met with the congregation there. I'm sorry about the clip. I was going to share with you a singing clip. I thought Tommy would enjoy that. So, but we'll show it another time. So the fact that God's universal language is love. That's one of the lessons we learn. God uses weak people. Yeah, I definitely can agree with that. But this is the one that really stuck out to me more than anything else. And this is a true statement for all of us in this room. Because God is always, always at work in your life. Whether you realize it or not, He is working. He is bringing people into your life. It is no coincidence. It is no accident. The people that you're going to meet this week, God has brought them into your life for a reason. And that is to glorify Him, to make Him look good. Teresa has been in contact for the last, was it 8 months? Been about 8 months or so? Four months. There's an English, it's called Kakao Talk. It's a where she's been practicing English with this man named Zhang. And we were able to meet his family while we were over there. And we had an amazing time. This man is not a Christian. He's a non-practicing Buddhist. And it was after the day was over, it was really cool. He was saying, basically asking us, "You guys are so happy. You guys are full of so much joy." And it's almost like he was saying, "I want what you have. I don't know what you got, but I want it." And Teresa has had some very profound spiritual conversations with him. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to bring him to Christ. I believe that because his heart is very open. So we had a wonderful time with him and his family. This is another story of providence. I couldn't believe this. We had about 25, 30 students in the class, the Minor Prophets class, for 2 weeks. And there's a 19-year-old college student. Her name is Haben. She told me one day during lunch, she said, "I'm leaving for the United States to study English." And I said, "Well, where are you studying?" And my jaw about dropped when she said where she was studying. Fairfax, Virginia, where I grew up, where my dad lives. D.C., okay? And so we connected her with the Fairfax Church of Christ. They have already kind of taken her in. And I've just been amazed at how God has worked. It was just, I mean, what are the chances? You know, you go to a country 6,700 miles away from your home, and you're talking to somebody, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to your hometown, going to where you grew up." I couldn't believe it. And this was another young lady that I think God brought into our lives. And that Sarah had her name is Esther. But she reluctantly came with her mother. She didn't really want to come. We were told to the BCC to study the Bible, but she came. And for the last year or two, she's been doing that. But her and Sarah really hit it off. They had a great, great time together. This is one of the most fascinating structures I think I've ever seen. It's down in this town of Gwangju where we visited. This is a replica of it, the one that was built in the 7th century by a queen, one of the dynasties. And I find it amazing how technologically advanced Korea was, Asia was in general. I mean, in 7th century Europe, we were still trying to figure out, you know, what are we doing, you know? And they're so technologically far advanced than any of the European countries. This is Kong's mom, and we had a great time. She was so nice. Her and her husband were just so nice to us. They're both working with the church down there. And but I wanted to tell you about Sang-Won Lee. We had come down that night. We were on the train for 2 hours and went to their house, and we actually went to the church first thing, and they were having a Bible study with this guy. And they had been studying with this guy for 2 years. And they had talked about baptism several times, and he kind of, "Well, I kind of want to do it, but I can't." And they never could figure out what was going on. And Teresa, with the discerning gift that she has, asked him directly, "What is the problem between you? Is there a problem between you and your wife or your children?" And bingo, that was the problem. His family are not Christians. And he is, I'm sorry I don't have a picture of him. I was wanting to get a picture of him, but we didn't get one. So we were able to talk to him for a long time about that, encourage him. I shared my testimony with him. It was just like you could tell this was a God moment, where God brought two people together, a family and him together, providentially and working powerfully in that. So that was just amazing. And you cannot tell me that the people that God has brought into your life, they're accidents. And the people that he's going to bring into your life this week, I believe with all my heart. So God uses weak and broken vessels. God, one universal language is love. He is always, always at work, providentially, bringing us together at work around us. And the last thing is, obey God. Leave the outcome to him. And this is a great missions principle I learned in Africa. Sometimes you pour your life trying to bring people to Christ, You'll sit there and you'll study with them for hours. I have studied sometimes for 1 and 2 years with people. They don't obey the gospel. You think, man, what am I doing? You know, and you get discouraged and you get frustrated and you think, you know, and maybe you have some family members or some workers or friends that you know and you've been trying to reach them for Christ and they just seem so resistant and they don't want to talk and you're going, man, what is the deal? Let me tell you something. You plant the seed. You plant it and let God make it grow. It'll grow in His timing. Sometimes it takes seven, they have proven it takes 7 to 8 times an encounter with the gospel for someone to be baptized. So you may be number 3 or 4 in that chain. And I want to encourage you to not give up on your family or your friends that you've been trying to reach. But this principle of obeying God and leaving the outcome, you do the best you can with people. But in the end, you have to leave the outcome to God. And we, you know, when we went over to Korea, one of the concerns we had was Teresa's dad. He's got pancreatic cancer. He's had 2/3 of his pancreas removed, 2/3 of his stomach removed back in May. And he's gotten progressively weaker. And when we saw him in December before we left, we were just like, Lord, you're in charge here. You know, you have opened up this opportunity for us to go, and we're going to go. And would you know that while we were gone, he went to church 2 times. God has not only sustained him, he started feeling better. We went up this past weekend to see him. He wasn't feeling too good this past weekend. But I've been amazed, what a great testimony to our family, to people around us, that God is faithful. When he calls you, obey. Obey him and leave the outcome to him. So I guess where we're going to close today is, what is God calling you to do right now, but you're worried, you're hesitant, you're concerned about what's going to happen in the future? Obey God, leave the outcome to him. Because he's already in your future. I know I've made that point a lot this last year, but it's true. He's already around the next corner. And he's going to walk you through whatever you're struggling with right now. So I would like to have a special prayer for Zhang and Sanwan Lee to know Christ. I want to pray for the BCC. We want to pray for North Korean Christians. Pray God will give them courage and boldness to stand up for their faith. We want to pray for unity. So would you join me in prayer as we close today? Father, I thank you so much for the incredible opportunity Teresa, Sarah, and I had to visit South Korea. It was just an amazing time, Father, to see you at work in the hearts of so many people. And Lord God, we want to lift up Zhang and Sangwon Lee. We want to pray for their salvation. We want to pray that you will send messengers in their path, messengers of your word that will share Christ with them. Continue planting the seeds. We pray for them, Father, to come to know your Son. And we want to pray a blessing over the BCC and Sang and his family and all that you're doing through that ministry, Father. And thank you for the fruit that's come from that work, and we give you the glory and the praise. And Father, we want to lift up all of our North Korean brothers and sisters who are enduring something we can't even imagine. I know for all of us, we really can't relate to what is going on there, but Lord, you know what's going on there. We've heard reports of persecution, of just people dying for their faith. We want to pray for them that you will give them courage, give them boldness, help them, Father, to stand firm in their faith. We pray that they will continue to glorify you, that even there, Father, souls will come to you and come to know you. And we do want to pray, Father, for the unity of the churches of Christ in Korea. We want to pray, Father, that you bring unity, help those walls to come down. And we pray that the walls of North Korea will come down one day, Father, and that whole country may come to know the marvelous light of your Son, Jesus. We thank you today for all that you're doing in our lives, and we love you for the people that are going to be coming into our lives this week. Help us be sensitive to your calling. And I pray, Father, that you will raise up missionaries in this congregation, whether short-term or long-term, Father. We pray for the lost of this world, that you will raise up harvest workers, Father, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We pray, Father, this day in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?